Please turn now, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 20 through 33 will be our consideration this evening. As you turn there, let me comment. Perhaps I should have mentioned this earlier, just how thankful my family is for the outpouring of God's love that we've experienced this week, rejoicing at the birth of Esther, thankful for your expressions of love to us, and she's doing well, and we're rejoicing in the Lord. It was a privilege this morning to sing from Psalm 71 about God caring for us in our birth and early days, and we're seeing God do that in Esther even now, and for that we are thankful. We do come to the book of Proverbs. We consider as we begin in verse 20, we'll recall last week in verses 8 through 19 of Proverbs, we had an intimate father-son communion, a father pleading to his son to hear the words. And in context of that, we heard the speech of the sinners. Well, in verse 20 here, we have a big difference, a big change. Suddenly, it's not a father-son communion, but it's wisdom. Wisdom crying out in noisy streets. But instead, as we've said, instead of it being the sinner and his speech being considered, it's the way of wisdom that cries aloud. So we will read Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 33, but before we read, let's pray. Father, give strength, wisdom, insight, and understanding to understand your word, so that we might be changed in the way of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 33. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called, and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruits of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is the word of God. Well, there are some kinds of speeches or statements in life that you almost never hear. Have you ever heard someone say something along the lines of, you know, my dream in life as I grow old and have a little bit more time in my hands is to spend more of my evenings in the noisy rush hour traffic at the I-65, I-70 split? Or perhaps have you heard someone say, you know, I really just wish I had more opportunities to find myself in a subway car where people are crowding my 2 square feet of space and I'm crammed in there and I look to my right or my left and then there's no seat to be found. It really isn't the dream experience for many to find their life on the noisy streets, to find their life in chaos, but that's exactly where we are found in this passage. Verse 20, we're in the streets, the markets. Verse 21, that phrase, noisy streets. Verse 21 again, city gates. And there's a sense of chaos. There's a sense of uncomfortability. There's a sense of noise. Wisdom has to speak loud just to be heard. It's a bit of a jarring scene. It's a jarring scene that Solomon paints for us as he tries to give a picture of what life is like in the world into which wisdom cries. And most of us would admit that we experience life in the noisy streets all the time. Our lives feel more like verses 20 and 21 than they do at the peaceful scene at the end of the Hallmark movie. We feel the life of chaos. And the question of the text is not so much what are the noisy streets, but in the noisy streets, is anybody listening? Is anybody listening to wisdom? Verse 24, people are not listening. Verse 30 again, they're not listening. Verse 33, people are listening. The question of the text then and the question now is, are you listening to wisdom? And the question is not so much, are the words of wisdom passing across your eardrums? I trust they are. You're here this evening. I trust they are. But in the noisy world, are you listening? Are you truly listening to the word of wisdom? And to discover the answer to that question, to discover whether we listen to wisdom or how to listen to wisdom, what do we need to do? We need to listen to wisdom, even as it's laid out in this text. We need to listen to the words wisdom gives us. And so we'll just work our way through the speech wisdom gives, and we'll have five markers or so that just sort of walk our way through the text, but really it's one cohesive whole. Wisdom's plea that you listen. Listen to wisdom. And the first marker, the first thing we need to think about is just this, the preacher who stands on the noisy street. The preacher on the noisy street found in verses 20 and 21. This is where we begin. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. Wisdom is doing some street preaching. And the question we need to ask, and perhaps you're already asking it, is who is wisdom? Who is she? It's a female voice. We see that in verse 20 and 21. Who is this street preacher? I've never met someone named Wisdom. Perhaps you say, I thought wisdom was sort of an idea or a concept. Who is wisdom? And that's a complex question. It's a debated question. But we could summarize who wisdom is in one succinct statement that we'll unpack for a few moments. And the statement is this: the wisdom of Solomon, really the wisdom of God, is here being personified. This is the personification of wisdom. That's really the definition given by Bruce Waltke, and that's a big word, personification. What do we mean that wisdom is being personified? Well, it's possible that some of you this past weekend said something like this: a piece of pumpkin pie there is calling my name. And unless there were some troubling ingredients in the pie, or unless you were dealing with some troubling things in your life, I hope you realize you're simply personifying the piece of pie. You're giving it attributes. Here, the attribute of calling you to eat one more time. That's personification. And here, it's the wisdom of God, this word itself even given in the book of Proverbs, that's being described or attributed as a person. Now, it's at this point many of our minds race, and perhaps they should. Okay, we have here the word of God, the wisdom of God, now speaking to us as a person. Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 1, is the wisdom of God. There we have it. Proverbs 1, Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. We've got it. And I would call that there, though it's maybe not the worst approach, the race car approach. Go at Indy 500 speed, move from Proverbs 1, run to Christ, we're done. And what I want to advocate for us is the bicycle approach. Move along with some speed, move along with some intentionality, but take a little more time to see the trees along the way. Let the text speak for itself. And trust that as we move through, the text will drive to Christ, speak of Christ, anticipate Christ, at times cause us to hear even the voice of Christ, the wisdom of God. Wisdom here anticipates and drives us to the person of Jesus Christ. And really at this point, that's all we want to say about this preacher on the noisy streets. That this preacher on the noisy street is the wisdom of God itself speaking to a noisy world. And there's even just a comfort in this, realizing in my noisy world, in the marketplace, God's wisdom keeps sounding until Christ returns. There is a sounding, there is a preaching, there is a word that goes out. The wisdom of God is going to make its noise. It's not just noise. The wisdom of God will sound. At this point, the question is, well, what is the wisdom of God saying? And back to that previous question, is anybody listening to wisdom? And this leads us to just our second marker, and this is just this, the offer made on the noisy street. The offer made on the noisy street found in verses 22 and 23. And we could summarize this offer, well, as the offer made to the scoffer. It's an offer given to a scoffing people. And really at the heart of it, jumping forward to verse 23, is a plea that they would turn. It's a plea to turn. This is the Old Testament word for repentance, but it has a spatial function to it, a literal turning. And you can picture here, wisdom's on the street corner. The people are running by. They're running by in the chaos, and wisdom is saying, turn to me. Come this way. Come down my street. Join a different path. And really, the plea begins with a question. How long? How long? A question to the simple. A question to the scoffer. A question to the fool. We'll just observe briefly there who is she talking to here? It's not just people who do simple things or have done something foolish in their life. Talking to people who in themselves are simple, who in themselves are scoffers, who in themselves are fools. Driving at their identity, how long, O simple one, will you love being gullible? Will you love being seduced into foolishness? How long, O scoffer, will you delight in laughing at wisdom while you're stuck on the noisy streets? How long, O fool, will you hate knowledge itself and choose the path of the lack of knowledge? And the reality is this. This simple one, this scoffer, this fool, is who the sound of the gospel goes out to. And maybe this evening, it's you actually who this word is saying, why are you simple? Why are you fool? Or maybe for you, it's, this is who I'm speaking with day after day. A world of people who delight in scoffing, who delight in simplicity, who delight in mindless memes that blast Christianity as opposed to meaningful discussion of biblical truth. People who, when you ask them this evangelistic question, if God was real, if eternity was real, would you want to know? People who say, you know what, to be honest, I'd rather just stay a scoffer. Or even Christians. Maybe they're not the ones running on the noisy streets in an explicit way, but they begin to think, you know, it's more fun to laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Maybe I should just turn off my mind for a little bit and just go enjoy the way of scoffers. That's the audience. That's the audience. And what does wisdom have to say? Wisdom is speaking to people who love, who delight in what they are enjoying. They love and delight this experience. What can wisdom offer? What an offer wisdom makes. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. It's a surprising expression here. Wisdom is not saying, you guys have your way of life with your series of advice books. your Oprah self-help books, your National Enquirer. I've got something better. I've got a different self-help book for you. Wisdom is offering itself. I will pour out my Spirit to you. And with the Spirit come the words of wisdom. Wisdom offers itself. And at first, that's a confusing expression. First, we're asking, how can wisdom be a person? Now we're hearing wisdom offering its own Spirit. And as we hear that confusion, we also ought to hear a familiar ring sounding from the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, every place we have this expression, the pouring out of the Spirit, we have the offer of divine presence. Isaiah 44, verse 3, I will pour out my Spirit upon your offspring. Joel 2, quoted at Pentecost, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Titus 3, verses 5 and 6, we have the renewal of the Holy Spirit whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Remember what Christ, the wisdom of God, said to his disciples there in the upper room? I will send my Spirit that he will put into remembrance the word I have spoken to you. It may be in type, it may be in shadow, but what we have in Proverbs 1 right here is the offer of divine presence through divine Spirit. The offer of the Spirit of God to give life. We sang it earlier, when you send your breath, creatures are created. And now the offer is this, the Spirits will be poured out. You will have life. You will have life. The wisdom of God will be yours. The Spirit poured out. That's what this is anticipating. That's what this is offering. And what we need to see right now is this is an abundant offer. The wisdom of God is not holding back and saying, I'll just offer a little bit. This is an abundant offer. It's even offered to you now. We need to see it's abundant because of where we'll head in the text. We'll think of that later. At this point, we want to press on. Our third marker, third experience here is the refusal that takes place on the noisy streets. The refusal on the noisy streets. Verse 24, we see that word, they refuse. Now, at this point, to understand what's going on in the text, to understand the refusal, we need to just pause and understand something about the structure in the text. Verses 22 through 27 present to us wisdom speech to the fool. Everything in the second person, you refuse to listen. If you turn at my reproof, and so on. And then verse 28 through 33 are wisdom's reflections on the speech. Everything's in the third person. They will call upon me. They will seek me diligently. We won't take the time to go through every parallel, but the two sections basically form a mirror. Wisdom's speech, and then wisdom's reflections. And so what we have is repetition that takes place. And I mention this because it's easiest to see now in reference to this refusal. Verses 24 and 25, they refuse to listen, they ignore the counsel, they don't have the reproof. And then verse 29 and 30, they hate knowledge, they do not choose the fear of the Lord, and the repeated expression, they would have none of my counsel, they despise my reproof. So we have two places here that cause us to pause and meditate on the refusal that takes place on this noisy street. Verses 24 and 25, then 29 and 30. And quite simply, wisdom's offer is ignored. Verses 22 and 23, I will pour out my Spirit. Verses 24, 25, 29, and 30, I will have none of your Spirit, is the fool's response. And what is it? What really is it to ignore the offer of the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of God? What would it be like for you? What is it going to be tonight if you would walk away and ignore the offer that divine wisdom makes to you? What is that going to be for you? Two phrases here stand out. Verse 24, stretched out my hand. Verse 29, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. To ignore wisdom's offer is to slap away the hand of God and to ignore the fear of the Lord. Slap the hand away. Ignore the hand that's stretched out. Wisdom stretches out. Foolishness says, I don't want the arms offered out. Imagine a marathon runner running that 23rd, 24th mile, feels the body breaking down, not sure he or she can make it. And there, a friendly observer of the race stretches out a hand with a glass of water, stretches out a hand with one of those gel packs that give the energy for those final 2 miles. The hand is stretched out. And with the final strength of the marathon runner, he slaps it away in the face of the one who offers. That's the foolishness. That's the foolishness. Foolishness described as well, not choosing the fear of the Lord. Remember chapter 1, verse 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom's offering it. Here is the Lord. Here is the Lord to fear. Who cares? Why would I want the fear of the Lord? That's the response. And we need to see in this one sobering reality that must be preached to your own heart, and it is this. Just as there is an abundance of the offer of God and His Spirit, there is an abundance of foolishness and responsibility in ignoring His offer. You refuse to listen. You ignored my counsel. You would have none of my reproof. You must hear this, and this is consistent Calvinism. If you appear on the judgment day and you have ignored the offer of the Spirit of God in Jesus Christ, you will be responsible. You can't get there and say, you know, the streets were too loud. I couldn't hear what wisdom was saying. Yes, you can. It's offered here, the clarity of the gospel in Christ. You won't be able to get there and say, you know, I didn't really understand or I didn't know the full weight of what was being offered. It just didn't seem very attractive to me. Yes, you do. The Spirit of God, life in Christ is offered. And if you ignore, if you refuse, if you say, I don't want it, you are responsible. Even now, as the hands would be stretched out, if you had slapped them away, you are responsible. You are called to hear, to heed the hands of God, the hands of the wisdom of God stretched out. And if you are not compelled, if you are not compelled by the offer of God pouring out His Spirit, you ought to be compelled at what's on the other side. Because we come fourthly to the scoffer's calamity. Verses 26 through 28, and then verses 31 and 32. We have that repetition again. It comes up twice. There's a great calamity that comes to the scoffer. And what is the calamity? Two expressions or two vivid images given. Verse 27, it's a storm. It's a whirlwind that comes to the ignorant. Verse 31, it's eating the fruit of their own way. Think about that storm. Think about that storm coming. We talked about at the start, there were noisy streets. It's like we've come to a break in the play and the stagehands have taken off the scenery, the set of the noisy streets, and have brought on a storm. They've brought on a whirlwind. They've brought on chaos coming to those who would refuse, out of the frying pan, into the fire. In the Hebrew world, not a boating people, the storm and the sea always represented fear, destruction, uncertainty, danger. And in verse 27, the word is this. It's not going to just be out there. It's not going to just be out there in the Mediterranean. It's coming to you. A storm is coming like the floods of Noah, and it's coming to you if you do not repent. That's the promise. We talk about the promises of God. This is a promise of the living God, and it's one that should literally scare us. Scare us to death now so that the death won't come then. And then we think of that other image. Verse 31, eating the fruits of our own way. Here we find again a theme that becomes an undercurrent that traces its way through Proverbs. The garden, the tree, the fruit. Fruit, the same word, the same expression in many ways of Satan's conversation with Eve. You can eat. You can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And the crisis that's found in Proverbs is instead of living in a garden of peace and harmony, it's a world of noisy streets on which a storm is coming and on which people eat the fruits of their own way. And get a sense of the logic of the text here. It's their own eating that leads to their doom. The logic is something like this. If you choose to eat the fruit of the trees of the garden that lead to destruction, and you know the poison that it has, that poison will kill you. If you know that it's going to destroy you, and you eat it anyway, that will kill you. Perhaps you remember the expression of Lewis on the judgment of God. He said this, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, thy will be done. The experience here is, you won't eat the fruit of your own way. I'm telling you now, it leads to destruction. And you take the bites, guess what's going to happen? You're led to destruction. And that destruction, listen, is final. It's final. Verse 28, they will call upon me, but I will not answer. Now is the time to listen. When the judgment of God comes, it's not the time to say, wait, God, I've had second thoughts on this matter. I've had second thoughts. Let me go back. And listen now. No, when the judgment of God comes, if you don't listen now, God won't listen then. There are happier messages that can be preached than that. But the judgment of God is proclaimed now so that you won't experience the reality of false repentance, false crying out because the judgment is starting to hurt, and the reality of God saying, you should have listened when it was proclaimed to you as you walked on the noisy street. And the question at this point is, are you ignoring the wisdom of God? Are you on this path now where you're eating the fruit? You're saying, I know it's poisonous. It tastes good on my lips. And I really don't care about the poison inside. Guess what? Wake up. It's poisonous. You will eat the fruit of your way. Or maybe you're thinking this, I'm a son or I'm a daughter of Adam. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. The teeth marks are already in the fruit. And we're led at this point to this sense of desperation, to the sense of, is there a way out? Or am I going to simply eat the fruits of my own way? And as wisdom calls out, as wisdom cries out, and we're at that point of desperation, we're led finally and with great joy and great relief, verse 33, the offer of security. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. It's as if, once again, the stagehands have come in. It's not the noisy streets anymore. It's not that storm that's coming in. But it's the green pastures of life in the hands of the living God. and it's held out and it's offered. Security. And who is it offered to? Whoever. Whoever listens to wisdom. Whoever. There's no traffic jam in the secure dwelling places of God that prevents you from listening and joining and finding the place of security. Those pastures are eternal. Those pastures are infinite. The place of secure dwelling. Whoever will listen. Whoever will listen may come. You may leave the noisy streets and dwell secure. And what is that place of security? It's not some park down the streets. It's not driving over to Holiday Park tomorrow and just resting and enjoying life away from the crazy world. We know that's not it. What is it? It's the place of hope and safety to those who receive His Spirit. Often in Scripture, this phrase, dwell secure, comes on the other side of judgment. Isaiah 32, it's a passage of judgment until Isaiah 32, 15, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. And then a few verses later, my people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings. Same phrase. The Spirit is poured out, and we have secure dwellings. God leads us out. Leads us out of a world of chaos, leads us out of a world of eating the fruit of our own way that should destroy us, and He leads us to a place of safety. And you, by faith, can live in that place now. The life in the Church of Jesus Christ, the life of faith in the triune God, is a life of dwelling in security with all the crazy things that can happen in this world. All the chaos, all the sudden turmoil, and through it all, without dread of disaster, without fear. And for eternity, we will live secure, at ease, without dread of disaster. It won't be chaotic streets. The hurricane won't be coming tomorrow to wipe us out. We will dwell secure in the hands of the living God. I wonder tonight if you're restless, if you're walking in the world of chaos, if you're walking in the world of the noisy streets. Maybe you're there as a scoffer. You love it, and at the same time, you hate it. You're eating the fruits of your own way. And it's like a box of donuts. You eat the first one, it tastes pretty good. You eat the 12th, and you're sick to your stomach. But you don't know how to not go back. And here's a word to you. Listen. Listen. Listen to the cry of wisdom. Listen to the wisdom of God. What did He say? Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Listen to the wisdom of God as He promises. He says, there are rooms I have prepared for you in eternity. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen to the wisdom of God. Listen to the wisdom of God. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure, will be at ease without dread of disaster. Do you fear disaster? Do you fear the crisis? Do you get in your car and worry about what could happen as you get on the highway? Do you fall asleep at night and wonder what the night will hold? Do you fear? Do you realize you live in a life of your own mortality and it confronts you day after day? There's a way out. Listen. Listen to the word of wisdom. And for those of you who have listened, keep on listening. At this point, that's the call. Listen to the Word of God. That's where Proverbs begins. As we move through Proverbs, it moves from the call to listen to the practical implications. But here the call is this: listen. Listen. Maybe you know you're on these paths, but you don't feel you're in a life of security. Maybe you know you're on the paths of dwelling secure, but the chaos is around you and you're just not sure right now if it's really true for you. Listen, listen, listen. I remember perhaps one of the most chaotic days of my life, and I trust for some of you as well, September 11th, 2001. I remember going to bed to the eerie silence, no planes in the sky. And for the first time in my life, asking questions I just hadn't asked before. Asking questions about dwelling securely. But do you know what I also remember from that night as I went to bed? I remember my parents in my room speaking and putting me to sleep. Words to listen to in a world where we don't seem to dwell secure. There are divine words to listen to. Listen to the gospel, the wisdom of God, and dwell secure. Let's pray. Lord, we want to listen. We want to listen, though there is turmoil. There is chaos. There is much that could distract us, even things that may be good that would distract us. We know our own sinfulness would as well. Give us ears to hear. Let us hear. Let us believe your wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.